Hello, America. Dave Hodges here. I'm the host of the Common Sense Show. We are the show that is freeing America one enslaved mind at a time. And we are really glad to be with you. As you know, I have started to dabble in, and I'm going to do a lot more than dabble. We're going to jump in head first here. But we've been working with your news, and I'm a contributor, I'm an investor. And what I'm going to tell you is this, and you need to take this at face value. I personally am saying to you, this is the future of all media. The mainstream media is dead. We're going to talk a little bit about that with our guest Sam Anthony, but we're also going to talk about, well, where are people going to go? And then we'll talk about an opportunity that you have right now that you can jump into this as a part owner investor, a contributor, and you can shape where this goes with your efforts. But also, you can sit back and be on the ground floor of something that's huge. Would you like to have been on the ground floor of Facebook, IBM? Well, you have that opportunity right now. And fortunately, I must have got kicked in the head because I had the wisdom to see this, I think, before a lot of people are seeing it. And this is going to be fantastic. Sam Anthony is our guest. He is the one growing this great platform. And Sam, welcome you to the show. I just want to start with this. Colbert, Maddow, Tapper, all of these liberal mainstream media propagandists, they call themselves news people. I won't dignify that. But they are going the way of the dodo bird. The 25 to 54 demographics with who's watching what in media. Mainstream media is dead. That's because in 10 years, most of their followers are going to be dead. So what's happening here in the news media, and how are you capturing it? And I also want to cover how people who are on this show with us right now can take advantage of this and set themselves up to be in a good place financially and be a contributor to the news.
Dave, thanks for having me on your show today again. I appreciate it. You're right. The legacy media is collapsing, and the reason really has nothing to do with the messaging, even though I'm sure it plays a part because their audiences have been diminishing, but it speeds up the process. But at the end of the day, you said it, the 25 to 54 crowd doesn't watch mainstream media. We talked about the numbers on Adweek and the fact that that demographic had a half a million people over all networks for 3 months for the first quarter. But where what news reporting is going to end up being is independent news people that have their own brand and leverage platforms to be able to disseminate the information. So I'll give you an example. On YouTube, you're broadcasting on YouTube or on Rumble, but Dave, you're the brand. You also do radio, which is on Spotify or whatever, what other platforms there are for radio, but they're just the distribution and monetization. Okay. You have to build your own audience. Nobody ever calls you and builds your brand, right? You do it yourself. But you do have a lot of other content creators on those platforms that people can find you that way on YouTube, on Spotify, and other platforms. So it'll all be independent news reporting. The content creators will be the people that have their own brands, and it's up to them to build their own audiences. So with us, we're different than YouTube, than Facebook, than trying to think Instagram, but we're complementary because we do local news. There's your difference. So the local news you're not going to find on Instagram or on Facebook. There may be a link shared, but we're the host of that content. So it's going to change dramatically. And what I see is the future of news will be a global media platform where the public can interact and contribute to the narrative along with a monetization model where news reporters can submit news freely without censorship. That's the most important piece, and they get paid on their work because advertisers could target to one zip code and everywhere in between around the content that's relevant to their product. We're already in motion doing this, and there is nobody else.
Yeah, it's amazing. I like how you said it though. With regard to major social media, this is complementary. I don't even think it's competition.
It isn't. There's
I don't
nothing
see that at
there.
all.
No, it's completely complementary because people that have a YouTube channel or a Rumble channel can take the embed codes, submit the content to us, and the content is really streaming from their YouTube or Rumble channel. It's the same with TikTok. I mean, TikTok, the only one that doesn't do it is Instagram. I have no idea why. Okay, but Instagram does not do it. They don't want people off their platform. What I'm saying is when somebody's watching a Rumble video or a YouTube video or something from Spotify, there's embed code, so it's really playing through Rumble, Spotify, or let's say TikTok, not from us. That's the cool part. So they double dip in ad revenue.
Amazing. Can we pull up Ariana Masters as an example in TikTok?
Yes.
I
So.
think she has really shown the potential for what we're talking about.
Yes, and what Dave wants me to show you, I tell him I was at Turning Point over the weekend and I met a gentleman that's got about a half a million followers on TikTok. So to think about that, this is somebody that really is a nobody in the news business that now calls himself Breaking News, whatever his name was, and he's got 500,000 people following him. Well, I have somebody that works for my company. Her name is Ariana Masters, and I want you to see this. Hold on a second, I got to get to that page. Does
Yeah.
that, can you see this? Is it sharing?
Yeah, I could see this. And we're going to put this out on audio too. So what we're looking at is a profile picture of Ariana, who works for Sam at Your News. And we're looking at her Instagram account. And it's
So
phenomenal. Let's look across it. When did she start this account?
less than a year ago, she's been on my payroll coming up on about a year or the next month, I think it is. So maybe 10, 11 months ago. Okay. And we started this because we wanted social media. Never in a million years. I want you to see the amount of people that are following her.
Amazing.
Okay, now here's the thing.
328,000.
2 weeks ago, it was 300,000. I went, holy crap. I looked today. So what happens is the bigger you get, the more people are sharing. And all of a sudden, that number just rose 10% in literally 2 weeks. So this woman, sometime in the next year, is going to be over a million followers on social media. Now, what she does is, she takes content from our website and she submits them here and she talks about them. But if you notice, it'll say yournews.com and Ariana Masters. So she's promoting our brand because she works for us, but it's another way to reach more people and build your audience. Ariana is the brand. That's what I'm trying to share with you. So this is an individual that uses a platform called Instagram. And within less than a year, she's got over 300,000 people watching her. That's incredible. Okay. So this is where the future of media is going. And media is a broad term. For news, for local news, it's going to this kind of platform, but it could be shared out on other platforms. So the complementary side of this is if I take this article, and I'll do national news entertainment. And I have people that do movie reviews. So here's a movie review right here. This was done by a gentleman named Henry Pham. Okay. When Henry submits it, he shares it out on all of his social media sites. So you see how I could just put this right to True Social? Okay. So that's the complementary side because it pushes content. So what he's doing is he's driving his traffic to our site. It works the same with him. If I go to auto racing, we have content creators in every single category. So I'm going to open one of these. This is Derek Vance right here. He does Formula One auto racing. This is him. And he has an author page. All content creators have author pages with us, like you have one. So here's Derek, and this is every single article he submitted. So this would be very similar to his YouTube page, Dave, right? This looks kind of like a YouTube page. All of his content resides here. And then this is the link. I don't know if you could see the Your News author, Derek Vance. This is what he promotes out on his, like he has follow me here, follow me here. This is his follow button.
Yeah, I hear you.
Yeah, so this is so social media news platforms are going to be the next form of media because they allow for distribution and monetization. That's where it's all going to stuff like this right here.
Now, Ariana could be doing this on YouTube or anywhere else, couldn't she?
TikTok. I mean, she should have
Yeah.
multiple channels because I already talked to her the other day. I go, you need to get your butt on TikTok and start building that too, because those people will follow her and because they're on TikTok, but then she'll build a broader audience. So yeah, that's where it's all at. Remember, it's a platform. Now, she doesn't do local news because none of those platforms do local news. That's where we come in. There's your difference. Their distribution for content, but most of them have national appeal.
Yeah, I put some things on YouTube that are mostly like Maricopa County, but it does have national implications many times. But you can put local stuff on these other platforms, but they don't have a dedicated source for it. It's thought to be national and international.
Exactly. Well, your audience follows you all over the place. Like I had a conversation with somebody the other day, and they were from Detroit, and they've been watching you for 8 years, right? So they could be following you on Facebook too, and when you post, they see the article. Well, it has no relevance to them. So in our case, we can geofocus content to a specific city or county or market.
That's just amazing. And see, this is what's going to separate you from the legacy media that's in decline, is they have a local station that's more really regional, and then they have national, and that's it. That's it. They
That's
can't
it.
filter down. They can't sell advertising for two zip codes at one time. They just can't do it.
And so that's where we come in because it'll all be independent news reporting. By the way, Dave, I had a conversation with a young girl that's been out of school for 1.5 years out of San Francisco. She signed up to be a citizen journalist on our platform. I said to her, how many jobs have you gotten in the last 1.5 years? She goes, not one. Not one. Nobody's hiring. Okay, when they're letting Colbert go, what do you think is going on? Okay, he's the draw. They can't afford to pay him anymore because the revenues are dropping. That's your real answer. All the money's going to the platforms. And then you have somebody like Ariana, which technically is a nobody, all of a sudden has 300,000 people following her. So she's this girl's going to have millions of people in the next few years.
And that all shows up in revenue.
And well, right now she gets paid for that. Okay. So that's the whole point of this thing is she's the brand. The marketplace decides who they like or dislike. And for the ones they like, they grow through the roof. Obviously, they like her. She's good.
It's amazing. It's absolutely amazing. But there's another avenue, and I've taken this avenue. So full disclosure and honesty. Okay, I became a willing investor without much encouragement to your news. Let's talk about that aspect of it, about how you're growing the platform financially and what opportunities are available to the general public.
Sure. We're from the growth aspect, there's literally, I think I've showed you this before, almost 500,000 people on LinkedIn that call themselves freelance journalists.
Yes.
And then there's 170,000 that are student journalists. So these people, when you become a freelance journalist, most of them, not all of them, are part of the downsizing of the legacy media, and they're looking for work. They can't find any. And so not only do we bring those people on, but I bring on people that never have been in the news business before. I'll give you an example. Ariana is reporting news. She has never once been in the news business, but somehow she's good enough that 330,000 people watch her.
Wow.
Okay, I mean, think about that. So obviously she never went to journalism school. She doesn't have a journalism degree. You don't need one. And by the way, Dave, did you go to journalism school?
I did not.
Okay, yet somehow you're a broadcaster. How is that possible?
Because John McCain tried to steal my land. That's how I
See,
got into this, but
and that's how you got into it. But the point is that the marketplace decides whether they like your content or not. In the case of Ariana, they could have not liked her and she could have went nowhere with it and had 10 followers. But to have 330,000 in less than a year, obviously there's a lot of people that like her. As a matter of fact, she even told me that Megyn Kelly's producer reached out to her to be on the show. Somebody else big did too. And then the crazy one is Ann Vandersteel, who's part of our show, part of Your News, and sits on my content advisory board, does not know Ariana and had someone reach out to her to bring her on her show because Ariana called me to say, does Ann Vandersteel know I'm part of Your News? I went, no, she does not. All Anne had to do was call me. She was trying to get in touch with her. She was reaching out to people to get in touch with her. Is that funny or what? So, small world. So that's how
Let's talk
popular
about the
she's
investment.
become.
So I came in and I
Yeah.
put down X amount of dollars. I said, I really believe in this and I want to put X amount of money into your news in this phase one, as I call it, investment opportunity. Not only do I feel it's the right thing to do to build the platform, but I'm also making an investment for future income. Can we talk about that?
Yeah. So we all know the legacy media is not going to survive. What we do will replace it. Okay. So it's either going to be me or somebody else. This is the model to do it, but there is nobody else. Okay. So we have an opportunity to be able to, I'm talking about from a conservative standpoint, to be able to not so much control the narrative, but that make sure what happened to us before never happens again. And that is censorship. Right? Because you can't have a democracy if you have censorship. By the way, I got an article the other day. It was one of the first ones I've seen, and it was a liberal opinion. And I completely disagreed with it, and it made national news and opinions. I'm just letting you know that. Okay. So if you don't have a free speech platform, you've got nothing. Nobody wants an echo chamber. And certainly, the first thing that any country does when they overtake another country is they control the press for dissemination
Exactly.
of information. 100%. So what happened to us? Well, they completely censored you on YouTube. They censored everybody else on social media sites. Facebook throttled you back or got rid of you. Twitter did the same thing. So they were controlling their own narrative to push their own agenda. And so now we're in a position where we could actually make sure that never happens again. And that is to make sure that we control the next mainstream media. So the next mainstream media will be a hyper-local news platform with a social component where the public can interact and share in the narrative. It'll have a monetization model for content creators that do this for a living, where they can actually make money off their work, and a self-service ad platform where people can buy their own ads and target the ad around a content relevant to their product. That's everything I just described is what I do. So the opportunity here, and I'm going to give you a number because I don't remember the last time I was on, but we now have, and I'll give you the exact number, we have in terms of news reporters that are monetized, 865. When I was on last time, it could nowhere near that
About
much.
700.
Yeah, so we picked up easily 165 people. I do that off a marketing budget on LinkedIn of $25 a day. So basically what happens is they only give me $25 worth of advertising. And I'm doing it on a small level for a reason, but that's, break that out. That's like 750 bucks a month. So what we're doing, this first round of funding is a 1,230,000, and we've raised about 30% of it, I think it is 365 grand or something like that. So what we're doing is we're doing this round of funding, which gases up the tank. So now I'm funded, and that funding will last 2 years with a much larger marketing budget, so we could start bringing on literally thousands of news reporters. My guess would be by the end of this year, I'll have 5,000, Dave. It's just my number I want to hit. And it's not hard to do. I just amp up the marketing and you spend double, you'll get double. Okay. So if I get 100 off 75, I'll get 200. So if I spend 10 times the money, which is 250 a day, I'll get, probably 30 people a day coming on. So it'll just grows like that. So the first thing we're going to do is you once you've got the company financed, you have enough money to be able to scale this for 2 years. Well, at the end of this year, if we have 5,000, next year I guarantee you I'll have 20,000. By the end of the next year, I'll have 40,000 or 50,000. The point is you start another offering right after it, but you do that one at a valuation much higher. The current valuation on this one is 20 million. Followed up by $100 million valuation. Dave and I off when we were talking beforehand, I showed him Facebook's number. Remember it? Okay, so Facebook's valuation on their first round, they raised 500,000 at a $5 million valuation through Peter Thiel. The next one was 100 million. So went from 5 to 100, okay, and then 100 to 500. All this was within less than 2 years, then to a billion. So yeah, that's how they grow. So for those of you who don't understand it, we're basically replicating Facebook just on a smaller level. I'm not raising the capital they're raising.
Okay, no, that makes a great deal of sense. Let's take a real number here. Let's say someone comes in, I'll just pick out a round number here. Let's say they put in $1,000 to invest in this phase one. When you go five times the valuation in the next phase, does that 100, excuse me, 1,000 become 5,000?
Yeah, that's what it's worth. That's what people are paying for the same amount of stock.
Wow.
Okay.
How far are you
Right.
going to take this with valuations? I mean, are you going to stop at a phase two, or is it going to continue?
Well, that it's fluid. So just so you know, I've told you this before, at least I'm pretty sure I have. There's a gentleman I hired that is a former hedge fund guy. He's an analyst and he does structure. So he's part of my company. He structured it and he's taken four of his own companies public and another 13. He does it as a consultant. So we already have the exit in place. The question is, when does Sam want to do it? What I'm trying to do is keep out institutional money. He already called me and told me I have a brokerage firm when you're ready to take this public that'll do the round when you go public. The problem with that is you're going to get all institutional money. So if we could stay away from institutions for the next 24 months, they'll never be able to get enough stock to take control.
Yeah, there
That's
you
the
go.
whole piece. Look, if I go to institutional money right now and I know people that will buy this, you sign off on their paperwork. And the reason is they don't want, if I can't execute this, they want to be able to get rid of me and be able to put somebody in to protect their money. I
There you
get it.
go. Exactly.
Okay,
And I'll give you an example. Modern day, Tucker Carlson's gone, and he was gone weeks after BlackRock became their major financial manager. That's not a coincidence. I'm talking News Corp and BlackRock.
so
And
they may have.
Tucker Carlson, despite the fact he had the best ratings in the network, gone, erased. So that's what you're trying to avoid, isn't it?
Trying to avoid it. Yeah, the institutions have all the power because they have all the money. Now, here's the thing. Once you get it to a point where it's inevitable, they just have to buy whatever they could get their hands on. Okay. So it won't matter because I ain't signing anything from them. So now, if you're not selling enough to sell half of the company, you don't have to worry. You have control. That's like your poison pill. And that's what we're doing. So in this round of funding, I'm selling $1 million or 1.2 million for roughly 7 or 8%. I don't know what it is. The next round, you're selling 5 million for at $100 million valuation for 5%. So the same thing somebody bought $1 million for, we're selling for 5 million. There's your 1,000 to 5,000.
Oh,
Yeah. And
it's just.
that's how you grow these businesses. But once this is gassed up, and this is why I tell people the round you want to get into is this one, because the next one's going to be way more expensive, but you'll get it because I'm not going to get smaller. There's 500,000 people. If I market to all of them, I'll get 200,000 of them. I will get 200,000. I can't handle that all at one time. But the point is you will get those people because they're looking for a home. They need some place to be able to make money. All we are is the platform for hyperlocal news. And we will bring on literally tens of thousands of people. My guess is you'll probably get 1 million over time and you'll have 200,000 active, the 80-20 rule. But those 200,000 people will probably bring 20 million people a day to just the United States. That doesn't include Canada or anything else.
Wow. The numbers are staggering when you consider them. On this early phase, is there a limit to how much people can spend? Because I'm worried about Daddy Warbucks coming in. He may not do it with his corporation, but he might do it personally. Is there a limit on how much someone can put in?
It's based on with equity crowd funds, it's based on your income. So it you can't, if you're making 150 grand a year, you can't put in $1 million. You're limited to a specific number. I'd have to look it up, but I think it's like 5% or something like that. Maybe it's 10, maybe it's 10 once you reach over 125, I think it is, or something like that, maybe 10. So you know, if you make $1 million a year, I think they'll only let you put in 100,000. That's all you can do. So you have to have the proper net worth to be able to support this. But Dave, even so, it doesn't matter. If it, so, we have let's just say I had 800 grand of stock left. Well, if somebody came in bought it all, they don't control anything. They control about 5% of the company. Big deal. Or four. That's not control. Control is 51%. and you're not even remotely close. So that's why where I was saying the next round after that, we're selling 5 billion for 5%. So now between the two rounds, I sold about 12. Basically, Sam owns most of the rest. Not all of it, but at least 70%, which means that we're not diluted. So when you go public, you could issue 20% of those shares, which means you're still over 50%, which means you'll never have institutional people be able to buy it all up. If you bought all the stock from everybody, I still own my stock. I don't have to sell it.
Okay, so let me kind of sum this up. You're going to
Sure.
get uncensored news and get it from the zip code all the way to how far you want to take it. And then you've got an investment opportunity where if you come in this first phase, the next valuation will bump that investment opportunity up five times, okay, by a factor of five. And this is the platform people are moving to, and they're deserting cable news, mainstream media. And so this is the future. I also see something else coming too. So those three things are really in play, but there's something else I think that's going to be in play too. For people like me that would put their radio shows up or their podcasts or let's say a YouTube video, this could take the place of, it won't take the place necessarily of Netflix, but some of these other platforms, they're going to see, and I'm talking about what shows up on Roku. I think you're going to have some network productions at some point in time with movies and so forth. That's what I'm saying. And you'll certainly have syndicated opportunities with radio and TV with the shows that are coming your way. Not just the print media, but I mean, I think there's a whole new avenue beyond this eventually.
Yeah, it'll all kind of come together. Currently, the focus is on bringing on a massive user base.
Yes.
And we have 865 news reporters, then we have 41 or 200 non-monetized, which are PR firms, nonprofits that submit stuff all the time. So I have a total of 5,000 content creators. So we're going to amp that up astronomically. The good news is it's nothing more than a marketing campaign. That's it. So it's not like you got to call people. You just bring them on and they have nowhere to go. Basically, it's me or get out of the industry. If you do local news, forget it, or even national news.
What's the promotion level now to, other than doing shows like this and telling people that this opportunity exists, how else are you making people aware of this so they can jump on board?
From the investment side, well, I've strictly been doing shows, and this is how we explain this because my audience is primarily the conservatives that are disgusted with mainstream media and are looking for answers. And what this does, as I always tell people, there's two ways to, win a war. One is through, a civil war, like, nobody wants to do. The other way is controlling information. Right? Because information is power. He who controls all the information has all the power. So, since the legacy media is owned by six institutions, and obviously they're pushing a narrative that is certainly government influenced and advertiser influenced, that's all going to go away. There's going to be no way anybody could ever do that on our platform because everybody's running stories independently. If you are running a story in Phoenix, Arizona, and you want to write some kind of piece on that, Dave, that you're reporting news, how could Sam or any of my people ever know that that's accurate or not accurate? We couldn't. So we trust you. And if you lie, the public will let us know. That's it. We're a platform.
Interesting. The true marketplace.
The true marketplace. Yeah, that's it. Look at Ariana, 330,000 people in less than a year. How is that possible? Okay. How many people do you know have viewership on each show of over 300,000 in less than a year? Like none, right? I mean, give me a break. This girl's gonna have over 1 million people soon. And
On my podcast, we're in the top 0.5% in the world of 3.5 million. But I'll tell you this, Sam, I didn't get there in a year like Ariana did. I've been in broadcasting since 2007.
Wow, so almost 20 years, 18 years. So
Yeah,
you've been doing this a little bit.
in fact, I reached that level about 5 years ago. And so, we're in that rare earth place, but it took me, if you do the math here, it took me over a dozen years to get there. Ariana's done this in less than a year. That's amazing.
Don't ask me how. I mean, when you listen to her stuff, it's compelling. She's very good at what she does, but I'm not the person who decides. The market decides. So you know how many people I talk to, and they go, "We follow her." I've seen Dan Bongino when he was on his show playing her stuff.
Really? No
Yes.
kidding. I didn't know that. Wow.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's how good her stuff is. You have other people. Megyn Kelly's now asking her to come on. So obviously she's doing something good. I'm just glad she's on my payroll, right? Let her get bigger because that's just more reach for us, is all it is. Okay.
Yeah,
That.
that is absolutely fantastic. But see, this also helps the social media. I mean, for her, it's Instagram. For me, it would mostly be YouTube. But that helps, and it also helps my podcast. So there's really a bi-directional effect. Folks, let me tell you, the only experience I ever had with the media before I got into this was post-game interviews as a college coach. That was it. That was it. Nothing else ever, ever, ever. I don't think I ever wrote an editorial to the paper. I didn't do anything. And what I'm saying is, if you're passionate about something and you can get organized, you can have an impact too. And what Sam is showing you is you can set yourself up to be really comfortable financially, both as an investor and a content creator.
Yeah, and remember this, Dave. This model is no different than YouTube. You know, nobody goes to YouTube and makes $1 million overnight, right? You know, you have
No.
to build an audience.
You got to
It's
work
how
at
it
it. You're
works.
right.
Okay, like you said, you've been doing this 18 years, right? You built an audience. So in the case of YouTube, it's the same thing. You set up a YouTube channel, you're not rich. You got to get big enough to where they monetize you, and then you're going to make more money if 10,000 people watch your show than 1,000. In my case, you set up a Your News account. You get your own Your News author page, but then you start pumping content into the system and you start building your brand and you start promoting that content for people to come in and consume it to the people who follow you. So you want to build your social media, okay? Which, if you're on YouTube, you want to do that too, okay? You want to build your social media, you want to bring people to your content, and then you want to make them follow you on Your News so that this is that app we were saying that is in the process of being developed. It's under testing stages right now. So we're doing everything we need to do to make it so they can generate more revenue. So if you have 10, 20,000 people over time following you on Your News, the moment you post a story, it immediately alerts 10 to 20,000 people. And when they click it, the ads pull in and they make a couple hundred dollars just like that.
That's amazing. That is truly amazing. Well, how do people can you pull up the homepage for Your News so
Yeah,
we can show people where to go?
I definitely can.
And then if you're listening to this on audio, I'll describe it for you. But we're gonna put this out on social media. I gotta tell you, if I ran Rumble or Instagram or YouTube, I'd love this because it's gonna increase what I'm doing too.
It's broader
Okay.
distribution, Dave.
So
That's it.
this is the news page. Let's scroll down to the bottom though, where people can go and you can show them where to sign up.
So, if you want to be a citizen journalist and get paid for your work, you click Be a Citizen Journalist. This page shows up and you fill out this application. Very simple. If you want to invest in Your News, you click Invest right at the bottom and it'll take you to this page right here, which is owned. This is Issuance Express. It's owned by North Capital Partners, which is a brokerage firm. So, we had to go through all that scrutiny. So if you noticed, we've raised, it shows here, $360,860 so far, $2 per share, $200 minimum. The 100 grand min offering has already been done, but the total investment is, our total money we're raising is $1,235,000. We got about a year for the deadline, and I'd like to have this completed before the end of the year. So now, just a word of advice. This 360, after the first 480 grand, you still pay $2, but you get credited. You saw it, Dave, 25% bonus shares.
Correct.
So
Correct.
if you bought a, you could spend as little as $200. What we're interested in is broader distribution and ownership in Your News. So we want the people to own the product, not the institutions. But if you bought $200 worth, you bought 100 shares, but you'll get a $25 credit, which means you own 125 shares. So obviously, 1,000 would be 1,250, right? If you bought 1,000 shares, it'd be 1,250 shares. So this dollar amount, once it hits 480, that turns off, and then it's straight $2.
So this is a great time to get in.
Well, it's, look, you're gonna, so at the end of the day, Dave, you didn't really spend $2, you spent $1.60. If you did the math with the amount of shares and divided it out by, it would show up as $1.60. The next, even though we charge $2, we're giving you bonus shares. The next one is just going to be straight $2. The next one after that is going to be five times the amount of money or more.
And that's where people will make their money that come in now.
Well, yes. Yeah, so this is where the real money gets made. The next one, they still make good money, but the one after that is going to be much higher. My guess is we'll probably have this, if done right, $300 to $500 million valuation to start. And then I just want you to see something here. Here, I'm going to do Rumble here. This is the market cap for Rumble. You see it?
I do.
$3.27 billion. Stock price is about $10. YouTube has over 100 million users. Rumble has a couple hundred thousand. Okay. The point is this went public a year and a half ago. It's worth $3 billion. So the reason they exist is because YouTube allows it. Because if YouTube took everybody back, this company would be in serious trouble. That being said, they filled a void. The void was the people that YouTube kicked off. Now, with me, this is the void I filled.
Yeah.
Here's journalists, freelance journalists in the US. Look to the upper right. What's that say, Dave?
490,000.
There's 490,000 people that are advertising on LinkedIn that they don't have a job, because that's what freelance means. The other one is the student journalists. What's that say, Dave?
170,000.
It's 170,000 students on LinkedIn that are coming out of school.
Two
Do you
thirds
really?
of a million. Right here, need jobs.
And there's nowhere to go. That's the whole key to this thing. So, what we are is the next generation news platform. It's obvious when you have somebody like Ariana that's got 330,000 people following you, she's bigger than most people on CNN. Well, she's bigger than all the people on CNN, MSNBC, ABC, NBC. Okay. In a year, that's the key. In a year, she's bigger than all of them. That's where it's all going. So with me, it's still local news reporting where that local news reporter could have thousands of people in Chicago that read their news, or New York or Phoenix. That person becomes the next local news reporter. And they build their social media and they build it around the type of people that like their content. Example would be you were in basketball, right? So let's say you were a sport high school sports reporter in Maricopa County, where there's no possible way you could cover every school, Dave. Every game. You know as well how many high schools are in Maricopa County? Like 50, 80?
Oh,
I don't
there's
know.
more than that,
Yeah,
hundreds.
okay. I mean, so you know there's games going on all the time during school, right? There's no possible way you could cover the basketball and the football. So you might need 50 people or 100 people covering those. At least one person at every school is the point. Now you're starting to see the scale. And those people will have followers on social media that follow them specifically for high school sports. Then you have, we're very broad in scope. You could have people that follow you because you do restaurant reviews or you're a theater critic.
I was just going to bring that up. You're going to put Yelp into extinction. No offense to
Yeah,
Yelp, but that's.
there's no reason for it. I mean, look, at the end of the day, I mean, they have a marketplace, but you could have real people that said, I went to this restaurant yesterday and it was fabulous. Here's what I had. They could take photos, the whole nine yards. I mean, so you'll have people that do that kind of stuff. You'll have people that do the theater critics, right? Going to different plays. And those news reporters, by the way, they get in for free. You know that, right? It's like Turning Point. When I go to Turning Point or any of these events, I just go to the venue and say, here's my news outlet. I want to cover the event, and they give me press passes. You do that
You
too,
know
I'm sure.
what you might want to do, and I know it's an expense up front, but eventually you might want to offer a press pass through your news.
Well, you can give it, but the press pass is not going to get you in. The venue gets you in. Like I could carry a Your News press pass and walk up, but they're going to go get out of here. But if I want to go cover a local event, you reach out to the venue beforehand and you fill out their application for media, and then they give you a pass. It's that pass you
Okay.
need. Yeah, I threw it out. I don't have it here. Hold on, let me see.
That's pretty amazing that you
Here, can you
generate
see
that
that?
yourself. Yeah.
That's media from Turning Point. Well, no, this is not from Turning Point. This is from Clay Clark's event, Reawaken America. Okay, so the Turning Point had Turning Point on there, but I have to ask from them to get it. They give it to me.
Okay, that makes a lot of sense. Well, again, folks, to round it up here, go to yournews.com, scroll down to the bottom, sign up to be a citizen journalist. And then also, too, I would encourage you to invest because this is the future. This is the wave. And I feel like I've positioned myself nicely to take advantage of what's coming. So, Sam, great opportunity here. And may I ask is, what made you think of this? Was it just the blatant censorship?
No, that wasn't it, Dave. Years ago, we believe that I'm talking about a long time ago, Dave. I just happen to be right place, right time. At this point, we believed that the newspaper industry was going to collapse because the internet was eventually going to put it out of business. So me and a couple guys built, we funded it ourselves, but we set out to build a platform to replace the legacy media, and we failed miserably. And so we went through multiple iterations. I ended up losing two partners. I picked up another one. We finally had a model we thought worked. Turns out it didn't. And then finally we switched to the monetization model, which is basically you have to take, it's like taking the engine out of your car or putting in a completely different one because we weren't set up for this. Okay. So all this stuff has been expensive. It's been a massive learning curve. Now, when I really realized how important it was, what we were doing was in 2016 when Trump got elected and they went after him. That's when I went, holy crap, the media is lying. I mean, now they're just manufacturing stuff and running and going after him. They're trying to do everything in their power to be able to put this guy out of business. Then when they stole the election, I went, holy crap, now they're even stealing elections and they got the media behind them on this one. Then they went after Trump. And they actually got a felony conviction for something that's not even a felony that had passed the statute of limitation. They had to go back in. And I mean, it just was just mind-blowing. And I said, you know what? What we're doing is so important. It needs to be done because the last person you want to control something like this would be somebody like a George Soros or somebody else that has, that's doing this for nefarious reasons. So for me, I'm 60 years old. I've been doing this for a lot of years, and I happen to be at the right place at the right time now. Now the next step is let's scale it up and let's make sure, I have two grandkids. Okay. I'm sure you do too, Dave, right? I mean, am I wrong or
Yeah, you're
okay?
right.
Yeah. So, the last thing you want is that for them to grow up in a world like this. So we have to ensure that this never happens again. We control the White House, the Senate, and the Congress at this particular moment. Since the legacy media is not going to survive, and there's not one chance I'm wrong about that, what will replace it will be a platform like ours for local news. Remember that, right? TikTok is not for local news. Facebook is not for local news. YouTube is not for local. This is local news. So what we do will replace it. We need to make sure that this is owned by the people. That's the most important piece to this. So this is why we're doing an equity crowdfund. What I really want to get accomplished is I want this first 1.2 million completed. Any of you that have bigger, deeper pockets that want to participate with this, if you have questions, call me. I mean, you could call me at 561-222-2900 and just ask for me. Or you could go directly to the equity crowdfund and play, make your investment right there. But we don't mind bigger players coming in. Simply because I want this done, because we will immediately go to a round that's five times the money, because now we have growth capital to be able to scale this. And bye bye.
Makes
I will
sense.
not. Yeah. By the time you got 50,000 news reporters on this, Dave, do you have any idea what that digital property is worth? I'm going to
No, I
tell you
hear
right
you.
now, at least 300 to 500 billion all day long. At
Amazing.
least 300 to 500 billion. Yeah.
Well, let me leave it with this. You can go to yournews.com, scroll down to the bottom, and you'll see both these opportunities, citizen journalist and also to the investment opportunity. Sam, exciting stuff here, and I'm going to check in on you again to see the growth and the progress. We've already seen a lot. I appreciate you coming on and I appreciate what you're doing.
Thank you, Dave. Thanks for having me, man. I love being on your show.
Our pleasure, Sam. Take care.
Bye.
Hello, America, and to our friends around the world. Welcome to the Common Sense Show. We are the show that is freeing America one enslaved mind at a time. Thank you so much for joining us. Well, we're going to look at censorship. Oh, no. Not social media, not the mainstream media, but in corporate America. And increasingly, corporations are trying to silence their critics. Sometimes the criticisms are provable and true and valid and deserved. Doesn't matter. People are at risk if they speak out against major corporations. And we're going to talk about one corporation in particular, UnitedHealthcare. Now, I've been a customer of UnitedHealthcare and I haven't had any major problems other than the fact that managed healthcare sucks, perpetrated by Edgar Kaiser and Richard Nixon back in the 70s. Designed to maximize corporate profits at the expense of people and their health care. Now, that's my basic statement. That doesn't mean UnitedHealthcare is the cause of this. They weren't the origination of this. They're a participant in an illegitimate system that needs to be turned upside down and straightened out. So, not holding them to any higher standard. But we're going to talk about what they have done to people who dare criticize some of their policies and actions. And we're going to do it right here on the Common Sense Show. Thank you so much for joining us. We are brought to you by the Magic Dicol Nanosoma products. We have here the Magic Dicol Starter Pack, 15% off the retail price. What you get are three bottles of the liquid spray, boost your immune system to tremendous levels. You know my personal story with this. Nothing else, negative prognosis with RSV, strep lung linings. Dave, you're done. No, I wasn't. This is what brought me back. Then, of course, you have the topical gel. Rub it on your joints. It helps grow pluripotent stem cells. Pretty cool. I'm doing things in the gym I've not done in 25 years. And then the skin cream. Now, fine lines and wrinkles is what they say, and it's probably true. I used it on my finger. Remember when I had the bad cut with all the need for stitches? And I said, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to put the cream on, wrap it up every day. 2 weeks later, this is what I got. No visible sign. Pretty amazing stuff. Together, 15% off. This is the starter pack. Go to iwantmyhealthback.com/Dave Hodges. iwantmyhealthback.com/Dave Hodges. All right, let's talk about David Enrich. Seems to be a pretty good reporter. And that's a compliment when we're talking about the New York Times, because you know. If you followed me for any length of time, I am not a fan of the New York Times. I think it's a first-rate propaganda outfit. But there are some journalists there that will do good work. And David Enrich really appears to be one of them. I watched an interview he did, then I followed up and looked at some other things he's done. And he was on Democracy Now!, liberal program on PBS. It's losing a lot of funding, by the way. And David Enrich very clearly came out and he criticized UnitedHealthcare for trying to silence their critics. He told the story of a couple, father, daughter, that owned a bunch of pharmacy outlets and the difficulty they had with UnitedHealthcare and their arbitrary, what they felt were unfair, stringent practices of penny pinching, denying claims after the fact, and so forth and so on. Then he talked about some surgeon, plastic surgeon who was doing breast reconstruction on a cancer patient. And right in the middle of the surgery, UnitedHealthcare demanded that she come to the phone or else. And she was also negotiating in Dallas to be a primary care for UnitedHealthcare at a new facility she was moving into. So her patients didn't have to pay out of network costs. And because she told this story on social media, they broke off negotiations, said, you're done. Total retaliation. Okay. I checked into that story. It is true. And then there was the case of Adam Stone, a journalist in the suburbs of New York City. And he identified some very suspect and questionable business practices with regard to UnitedHealthcare and their billing system. That their mistakes seemingly always favor the corporation, never to the benefit of the person. And then the person has to go to unbelievable lengths and all kinds of red tape and bureaucracy to straighten it out. And even sometimes they don't get it done then. Now, there's a law firm that Enric identified called Clare Locke, which is a hyper aggressive law firm that if you criticize UnitedHealthcare, you're going to get the letter. We're going to sue you for everything you got under defamation. Well, no, it's not defamation if people are talking about their struggles and there's consequences to their fighting, which is demonstrable in Enric's articles. And really, I applaud him. He's really done a good job covering this. This law firm, oftentimes, it's a paper tiger with their threats, but sometimes they do follow through. Here's what they always cite. They always cite the following. Well, our CEO was tragically murdered in New York City. He was doxxed and killed because of UnitedHealthcare policies. I'm not sure the latter has come out in that trial. I think this guy was just a flaming nutcase. But regardless, even if they said what they said was true, tragic killing, absolutely. We cannot tolerate that in a civilized society. And I hope the person gets the maximum penalty under law and being prosecuted both federally and in state. It's not like this was swept under the carpet and it went away. No. The authorities are giving this every attention that they should. But just because a tragic event happens doesn't mean people who feel they're a victim of what they perceive to be unethical and self-serving bureaucratic policies on the part of UnitedHealthcare doesn't mean you give up your freedom of speech. Doesn't mean you give up your freedom of speech to criticize and to tell your story. And yet, this is what UnitedHealthcare seems to be trying to do. However, they're not alone. This is not just a UHC problem. United Airlines has engaged in these kinds of practices. Other businesses, when you criticize them, they'll sue you for defamation. I've seen cases of this on Yelp. I went to this restaurant. It was terrible. Service was awful. The food was cold. They wouldn't take it back. Blah, 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 blah. And they built the tip into the order because they knew we were unhappy. Yeah, I've seen lawsuits arise from that. To me, this speaks to a couple of things. On a large scale, maybe political suicide for a political candidate, but we need reform of our medical system. And Obamacare and single payer system, the way it's set up, is not the answer. As you can see, they're now charging an arm and a leg, and they're acting just like the major health insurance companies with overcharging, denial of benefit. Yeah, it's supposed to be universal health care for all that was affordable in response to 50 million Americans that didn't have health care insurance when Obama came into office. This system is a joke. It's a terrible joke. And yet nothing's being done. We need major health care reform. The second thing that we need is when these companies attempt to violate First Amendment rights and bully people with overwhelming legal resources and expense behind them, they need to be prosecuted federally for violation of the First Amendment, bullying, intimidation, and so forth. The DOJ needs to be involved in this. That's right. And Enric called out Clare Locke. I think they should be first in line if Enric's reports are correct. We as Americans need to be vigilant and criticize those who we feel are taking advantage of us. Now, if you say something about a UnitedHealthcare official that he's engaged in some kind of bizarre set of private practices that are just really off the charts weird, and it's not true, well, then you should be sued. But when you criticize billing practices, endless months and years of bureaucratic nonsense to straighten out a bill that you can't afford, that isn't deserved, they deserve criticism, and that right needs to be protected by our government. I'm Dave Hodges. This is the Common Sense Show. We will see you back here again next time.